We want to talk today. This is, like Pastor just said, the whole area of missions is always on our hearts and on our minds. He says, of course, that he is very interested in seeing us reaching out to people and impacting people, whether nearby or far away. And the thing I want to talk about and just have us kind of continuing our worship of the Lord is just this one aspect of God's character. I want to talk a little bit about God himself and what he is like and how we can imitate him. And we're going to talk about him as a communicator, God as a communicator, God as a being that wants himself to be understood. He wants people to know him. He wants people to know the truth. He wants us to know the truth about ourselves and the truth about him. And so even as we're talking about communication here, I'm quite aware that some of you, your first language may not be English. Now, I don't know that for sure. So maybe I should ask, are there some of you here who your first language is Tagalog or Cebuano or something? Okay, some of you, your first language. And then English had to come as a second language while going to school or working, right? And so your English is coming along. So for me, it was the opposite. English was my first language. That's all we spoke in our house, even though my grandfather came from the Netherlands over to the U.S. He did not speak Dutch at all to my father as my father grew up. So now we end up being only English speakers. That's it, the only language we know. And then I had to learn Spanish when we went down to South America. And I'll tell you something very interesting, because Candy and I, we've lived many places around the world, but many years down in South America, in Colombia and Venezuela. So do you guys know how Colombians and Venezuelans feel about Americans? Do you know? They do not like Americans. So if you went, they would think you were just fine, okay? But when I show up, they yell things out at me without even knowing me. They will yell very, very impolite, disrespectful things that can scare you at first. Fuera gringo. Okay. ¿Hay quienes aquí que hablan español? ¿Un poquito? Okay. Well, you can imagine what fuera gringo means. You know, get lost, American. You know, get out of here. And I would have this yelled at me from all the way across the plaza, like in the main parts of the cities. And so I had to learn to overcome that and make friends with Colombians and develop my own friendships. But we spent years. That's where we raised our daughters. Our daughters are very white hair, light, tall girls, and they grew up down there also, going through that kind of thing. No one really liked. In fact, when they go into the store, the Colombian women they'd elbow my little girls, and they'd treat them pretty mean. And so our kids had to learn to deal with that stuff. But I started getting some responsibilities in our organization that would take me to other parts of the world. So here I am after 20 years of nobody liking me because I'm an American. And one of my first assignments that I was going to do some leadership training, do you know where I went? I went to Manila. And I expected, like every other country I went to, no one's going to like me. But everyone was so friendly, I couldn't believe it. Everyone was so nice to me, so I decided that I love the Philippines, I love Manila. Everyone would run up and they want to take their picture next to me, and they called me something, I forget what it was. Joe. Yes. And everyone was just really, really nice and friendly, and I just loved that. I thought, what happened in South America? Why can't everybody be like the Filipinos, you know? But I'm aware of that. As I'm talking with you guys, whether it's a Colombian, a Venezuelan, a Mexican, a Filipino, American, someone from the Netherlands, a Dutch person, German, God has made it possible for every single one of us, no matter where we're from, to come to understand that He knows us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what's on our heart. He understands every dream, every desire, every sadness that we go through, every little bit of hope that we have. God is this kind of communicating God that knows that. And what I want us to just spend a few minutes just letting the Lord remind us and refresh us with here this afternoon is some of the implications of Him being a God that is like that, that relates. He doesn't sit far away, distant. He doesn't stay like that. He actually is engaging us. From the very beginning, even when God created the world that we live in, do you remember how He created? What did He do to make those things appear? Does anyone remember? He spoke. Isn't that amazing? He spoke. I find it amazing. I find that just super, super interesting to think about that. Because I'm thinking there was no one there to listen, right? It was just God. But this is who He is. He speaks and He communicates. He communicates about Himself. If you have your Bible, you can look in Psalm chapter 29 and just read. We'll just read this passage here. Thinking about like the power of God as a communicator, the power of His words. So in Psalm chapter 29, we'll read the first 9 verses. He says, "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful." And this King David's going to talk to us about the power of His voice. "The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars." So those are big old fat trees. And by just Him speaking, He can break those trees. "The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon, which is a country, leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare." And as King David's thinking about this, he finishes, "And in His temple all cry glory." There's something that actually, when you think about the way God communicates, the power of His words, the precision of His words, it actually leads to worship, I believe. I believe that just meditating on it, just noticing what He accomplishes by speaking, it causes us to worship God. It causes us to see His greatness. Things maybe about Him that we wouldn't think about when we realize that He has no need to speak to us. He does that to bless us. He does that to warn us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to instruct us, to exhort us, to rebuke us, to correct us. All of those words, the Bible's loaded with words like that. Teaching, instruction, reproof, rebuke, admonition. All of these words are the way God is. He just is this way. No one had to coax it out of Him. No one had to try to obligate Him to speak. He just is this way. And who did God create in His image? Us. Man. Men and women. Boys and girls. He created us in His image. And so guess what we like to do? We like to communicate. We like to understand each other. We like to be heard and understood, and we like to understand the people that are talking to us. I believe because we're created in God's image, that is the reason that we do things like learning languages. That's why you guys who did not speak English in your homes, over time, you had the ability to learn to communicate in English. And some of us who only had English in our home, we've been able to learn to communicate in Spanish and share our heart and hear from the hearts of others in Spanish. It's the reason you are able to determine that someone is a good communicator or a poor communicator. That's because you were created in God's image and you have this sense of whether someone has been clear or not clear. Have you ever gotten in directions from someone? Hey, where's AutoZone? Okay, well, you go up there a little ways and then you make a turn. And then you go a little further and you make another turn. And then after a while, there's some stuff on the side of the road, and then right across from that stuff is AutoZone. Not very helpful. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. If that's what they told me, I'm not moving. I'm going to wait for another person to come by. Hey, do you know where AutoZone is? How can you follow those instructions? Well, you guys know what that's like. We talk about between husbands and wives sometimes. We just don't understand each other. You think you said this, but your wife is sure you said something else, you know. So this whole thing of communication, it's a very interesting part of life. But as we're just thinking about both the challenge and the privilege of being God's spokespeople, being those who can speak on behalf of God. Did you know you guys can actually, each one of you, can speak to people that God is not speaking to directly? God could do that, but he isn't doing that. He's given that to you and me. So we have this challenge of communication, but we have this great privilege of being like our God who communicates. You have been looking and studying through Galatians, so just go to Galatians chapter 1 for a second. I want to remind you of something. You can just read there in chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. You can read, or 7, 8, 9. I'm especially looking at verse 8. Galatians chapter 1. Let me just stop right here and pray for a second as we go forward. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who you have brought together here today. And Lord, we're very busy people, a lot of things going on. I pray you'd help us all to just let you speak to us, let you encourage us with this incredible privilege you've given us of being your ambassadors, your body, your spokespeople, your voices. It kind of intimidates us, Lord, on one hand, because we know we're very limited, but it's exciting on the other hand. And I pray, Lord, that through your word, your spirit would just teach us and remind us this afternoon of that great privilege that we have and how to be good stewards of that privilege. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, my brothers and sisters, in this passage, Paul, speaking to the ones he's been very careful to explain the gospel to them, they have come to faith in Christ, but now he's very concerned. As he says later in chapter 3, I don't know how far you guys have gone yet, but maybe you're way into chapter 4 or 5. You'll remember in chapter 3, I think it is, that Paul is even saying, who has tricked you? Or who has bewitched you? Who has, like, put a spell on you? Who is it that has caused you to become foggy and confused on something so important? That's what he says later in chapter 3. But right here in the beginning, he can hardly get into his letter, And he is saying to these guys, and he loves them very much, he says, if anyone comes through here, even an angel from heaven comes, or I come back myself someday, and I start to talk about the gospel, and I start to explain things a little bit differently than I did before, then may I be cursed, he says, or may that angel be cursed, or anyone that tries to come and teach you a little bit differently. And if you remember, what he was talking about there was people understanding that their relationship to God, their forgiveness, their adoption into the family of God was completely dependent upon what Jesus Christ had done for them. It wasn't dependent on what they did. And so they were starting to mix those things, and now they're thinking it was a combination of what Jesus did plus their good behavior, their obedience to the law. And Paul says, no, 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 no. That is not an acceptable variation, he says. We have to stay really, really clear that our salvation is based in what Christ did, and then our behavior, our obedience, our lives of sacrifice and of service are coming out of that foundation. They're not adding to that foundation so that we can be saved. We understand that, right? Well, Paul was making a very big deal about that. And you guys, as when you're sharing your faith with your friends, people you work with, people that you bump into, people that live around you, we want to be really careful in the way we communicate so that the way we communicate points people towards that work that Jesus Christ did on their behalf and doesn't point them towards thinking that if they change their behavior, they can get God to love them or accept them or forgive them. We don't want to give that impression because that would be false. And again, why do I say any of this? I say this because God himself is this way. It's not my idea. God is a very clear communicator. I'll tell you a story. I was taken down many years ago, probably 30 years ago. I went down to a little place. My Spanish was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. And I went with a good friend. He was a pastor. Donaciano Perez was his name. So Donaciano and his wife, Elsa, put me in their little pickup truck. It was one of those small ones. Back then, 30 years ago, the mini pickups, they were small. And we were tightly in the front of that. And we went about 3 hours south of the border. And we went to a group of very, very poor people. They had nothing. And I was fascinated. I'd never seen people like this. And so they had loudspeakers and microphone. And Elsa, Donaciano's wife, was a very beautiful singer. Her voice was really, really nice, like the ladies that sang for us here this afternoon. It was just very beautiful. And so when she sang, we had the speakers out and stuff. All these people started gathering. So when she was done singing, then Donaciano preached. He was preaching. And I was out around the fringes just talking to people, trying to talk to people. The ones that weren't really listening to Donaciano, they were still kind of busy doing things. And so I'm talking to them. And I was having a hard time understanding them, which was a little bit frustrating. But Donaciano finished. The people came and gathered around the truck. He had some food to hand out. He had some clothing to hand out. These people were really glad to have those things. We packed everything up, put it in the pickup truck, and started driving back towards the north. And I asked him, I said, Donaciano, I was trying to speak to the people a little bit while you were teaching, and I was really having a hard time. And Donaciano said to me, well, Ron, they don't speak Spanish. And I was I said, well, wait a minute. Elsa was singing in Spanish. Donaciano was preaching in Spanish. And of course, I was running around trying to make friends in Spanish. And I said, well, if they don't speak Spanish, what are we doing? And he said, we just do what we can and just hope the Lord will do something with it. And I thought about that. Just like if you guys started speaking to me in Tagalog right now. Now, if you speak to me in English, even if you have a Filipino accent, or I speak to you in English with my American accent, we can understand each other just fine. But if you speak to me in Tagalog, I think I know the word mesa and cinco. There's a few words in Tagalog I might know because of the Spaniards, right? The Spaniards were running the show over there in the Philippines for a while. So there's some Spanish in there. But mainly, if you speak to me in Tagalog, I won't know what you're saying to me. And interestingly, God won't jump in and fix it while you're speaking. Like if you speak Tagalog right now, I will hear Tagalog. God won't say, oh, poor Ron, he doesn't understand Tagalog. We'll fix it while it's coming. We'll turn it into English, and then Ron will understand. Just try it. You have tried it. You know it doesn't work. You speak Tagalog, and Americans just like, So the very interesting thing about this is that God really has entrusted with us this important responsibility of communicating the gospel and to communicate it very carefully. And I want to encourage you guys, like I just said, when you're speaking Tagalog to your Tagalog-speaking friends or when you're speaking English to your English-speaking friends, the accent that you have, that's not the big deal. The big deal is making sure you're being very clear as you're trying to talk to your friends to get them to understand they cannot approach God on their own. They cannot. They will be judged. They will be condemned. They will be punished, just like I would be. They have to come to God through the work of Jesus Christ. That's what you want to be very crystal clear, because who do you want to be like? God. You want to be like God. He's a clear communicator. How many of us are so thankful today that God used someone to help me understand, help you understand that Jesus Christ had actually paid for my sins? Man, am I grateful today. I didn't know that. How would I know that? And much less if someone had tried to explain it to me in Dutch. I wouldn't have understood one word. And they'd say, your last name is Van Pearsom. You must be Dutch. Yeah, I'm Dutch. I'm fake. I'm a fake Dutch. Dutch name, and I look Dutch. That's it. So God is our communicator. He is our model. He is the one. And I just want, because as a group, since we're, this is a week to be kind of refreshing ourselves in regard to missions, I want to just talk about unreached language groups, okay? So in Tagalog, do we have a Bible translated? Yes. Cebuano? Do we have a Bible? English? Got it. Many, many translations in English. So we consider those reached languages. Are there churches in the Philippines, in the language of that church is Tagalog? Does it have, right? Cebuano? Okay. English? Right here. We have a church using the English language to worship God. So in the world of missions, we consider those reached languages. Now, what that doesn't mean is everyone who speaks Tagalog is being evangelized. We know that's not true. There's entire towns in the Philippines, and there may be villages or neighborhoods and a bunch of Tagalog-speaking Filipinos who don't have a good Christian friend to explain the gospel to them. But as a language, that Tagalog-speaking Filipino, he does have access to the truth of God. He can find a church, or he can find the Bible in his language. Okay, you understand me? So we consider that a reached language, even though there's many, many unbelievers who speak that language. Okay? English. American English. Reached. But loaded with unbelievers. Loaded. This country loaded with people who don't want to know anything about God. But it's not an unreached language. I'm reading this. This is NIV in English. And there's many, many churches in English-speaking churches. What we mean when we talk about unreached languages, there are over 3,000 of these languages. I think there may be a few left in the Philippines, minority languages, that do not have access to the truth in that language. You know what I mean? There's no church in that language, there's no gathering of believers in that language, and there's no scripture translated into that language. So some of them might be bilingual. They might speak. Is Palawano a language? Or just an island? Palawan. It's a language also? So a bilingual might speak their own mother tongue and Palawano, or they might speak their own mother tongue and Tagalog. But in this mother tongue, there's no worship of God. There's no translation. We call that an unreached language. There are over 3,000 languages like that still. Philippines only has very few. Praise God, the word of God has really gone forth throughout the islands of the Philippines. Really thankful for that. You guys, we can all be thankful for that. There's only a few left. Some of them are kind of even Muslim minority languages in the Philippines who really need to have a church planted among them. But around the world, and I'll tell you about one that I'm really familiar with, the Mewati. They are in west central India. Central in terms of north and south. Kind of northwest in the state of Rajasthan. 6.5 million Mewati speakers. They say there might be 7.5 million because the census, last census was a long time ago. Let's just say 6.5 million Mewati. Okay? That is a lot of people. Do you know how many believers are in that language? Okay, the translator, who I know him, his name is Royson. Royson said to me when I asked him about 6 months ago, Royson, how many believers? Because he's working on the translation of the New Testament into Mewati. Royson, how many believers? He says, Ron, the biggest number I can say to you with a clear conscience is 15. 15. But he says, Ron, I have to say, most of those 15, they would not even be able to explain the gospel because they have mixed Jesus with other gods, and they're kind of in a problem of syncretism, which you might find among some people in the Philippines as well, who mix Jesus with a lot of other things that they feel they need to do so that they don't get sick or their children don't get sick or things go well in the garden or at work. Well, same with the Mewati. So he's telling me basically, Ron, no believers. 6.5 million Mewati people. So here's the challenge for all of us, guys. Jesus Christ sent us out. He gave this great commission to his people. Now you're thinking to yourself, I'm not, Ron, I'm not going to India. I understand. It's okay. You can decide that. That's between you and the Lord. But just put that out of your mind for a second so that we can just acknowledge this stewardship. Jesus Christ said to his followers, go and make disciples from every single ethne. Okay? Every single language group. Make disciples from every single language group. And guys, I just want you to know we as a body of Christ, we haven't done it yet. Okay? We haven't done it. That commandment, that commission from Jesus, it's not fulfilled yet. I'm not saying we should be frantic and do something stupid and fast right away. I'm not trying to say that. I'm also not trying to say that you as an individual, or you, my brother, or me, like I am somehow personally responsible for all of those unreached people groups. Impossible. But us, as the body of Christ, I think the Lord would have us begin by just saying, Father, something isn't right. I don't know what my part is going to be. It might be my child that can go to one of these unreached languages. It might be my son. It might be my grandson, my granddaughter. It might be me. It might be. It might be that all I can do is pray. It might be that all I can do is financially support. Maybe I can help someone in some way who is going. But Father, I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. I want you to be the one that helps me understand, is there a part that I should play? Because God, you guys, your God, my God, he's a communicator. He's a clear communicator. He reveals himself. And remarkably, he has decided that he isn't just going to go to each of those villages in the Philippines. Right? I mean, he didn't sit in your kitchen and talk to you. He sent someone. He used someone just like you, just like me, just a normal person. He used someone to explain his truth. As I start to finish my time with you guys here, I want us to at least come to that place where we say, yeah, Lord, something isn't right. We haven't carried out the task that you gave the body of Christ. You guys need to be here. We need your witness, each of you, right here, in this city, in the places where you work, with your families, with your neighbors. But from among you, as you all get together and pray and take this to the Lord, someone might go. You might send someone. Someone from among you. You might say, the pastors, the elders, the leaders, they might identify a young family here and say, would you go? We would like to stand with you. We will send you. We will make sure you get the right kind of equipping. So someone might go. That's the Lord's business. But our business, I think, is to acknowledge that to him. Lord, there's something isn't right. Something isn't right. There shouldn't be 6.5 million Mewati who have never had a chance to hear about Jesus Christ in their language, not after 2,000 years. So speaking of equipping, I'll just mention this one thing. Carl and Myra will talk, the pastor will mention it also, I'm sure. There's this perspectives class coming up. In a couple weeks it'll start, and it'll be on Monday evenings. And you guys will have a chance to learn a lot about how God is acting in the world to carry out his great commission. It's called Perspectives. Part of what Carl and Myra and Candy and I are involved with is training people down in Tijuana. So we train people to actually know how to learn a language and how to live among a people and communicate the truth of God cross-culturally. The final words I want to say to you guys this morning. So number one was that God is the great communicator. From his very nature, when God is just being God, it's like when you are yourself, like it's Saturday afternoon, you don't have any work to do, you're just going to be at home, and you've got a free 2 hours, what are you going to do? You're just being yourself. Nobody's watching. Well, when God is just being himself, he's a very clear communicator. He loves to reveal truth about himself to us, and he does it in a very, very clear and precise way. So number one, God himself is our model as a great communicator. Secondly, when it comes to communicating the gospel, we, right here, want to be very clear. We want to be very careful in the way we communicate the gospel so that this thing that happened among the Galatian church, this real mess that people had, we don't want to be a part of creating that kind of confusion. So that's the second point, is that as we imitate God as good communicators, we're going to be super careful to protect the truth and communicate to our friends what the gospel really is. And third, and with this I want to finish, the privilege. The privilege of being God's ambassador. If you look at 2 Corinthians, if you're in Galatians, you know, just turn backwards a couple pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And there's a very powerful passage in here, starting around verse 15 maybe. So we're in 2 Corinthians 5. But if you go down a little bit further, I'll read to you from starting in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. See how clear that is? How did I get reconciled? And who did the reconciling? It's all there. No mystery. It's all nice and clear. That's the way our God is. So, the one who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And look what he did, you guys. He has committed to us the message or the word of reconciliation. He committed that to us. He gave that to us like a treasure. Other places, Paul tells Timothy that it's like a treasure that we hold in these clay pots, this earthen dirt. You ever think of yourself as dirt? Like just a clay pot with a very precious treasure inside, which is the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, here, it's entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. And that's why verse 20, that's why Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. There, I honestly, you guys, if I was a fireman or a policeman or just a businessman in San Diego, if I had my own business, my own landscaping business, or if I was a school teacher, no matter what I was doing, I would have to see that in the Word of God, the higher calling that I have, even while I'm doing that work, is that He has made me His ambassador. In other words, He's not going independently to all these people. He's actually sending me to speak for Him. It's an incredible privilege. Because who would speak better, me or God? Oh, boy, you guys aren't very nice. Of course. God would do it perfectly. I get it a little bit off every time, right? God, perfect. So it's an amazing privilege that God says to you, hey, I'm entrusting to you the word of reconciliation, therefore you are my ambassador. Huge privilege, you guys, to be the person through whom God actually brings his truth to another person. Whether you do that in San Diego or, as I'm praying this week, that some of you be thinking about, now, how do we do that for the Mewati in India and many unreached people groups throughout the world? How do we do that? It's a huge privilege we're being called to. Oh, there's a lot of sacrifice. There's sacrifice. There's price to pay. There's suffering. Oh, yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not like going to Disneyland, right? That's supposed to be fun. This is hard work. But the privilege of being that instrument through whom God brings life. Among the 6.5 million Mewati, there's no life. There's no access to life. So I believe it's not me. It's not me. It doesn't matter what Ron thinks. Very low on the value list, what I think. I would say as God looks at the Mewati, he would say, yes, I deserve worshipers from among that people group. And I want my body, I want my people, as my ambassadors, to take that life and that light and that truth and establish those disciples way over there. It might be me, it might be you, it might be someone that we just gather around and pray for and send. And that's what I want us to just be taking that before the Lord this week. Okay, Lord, so where do I fit in this? You are the great communicator. I want to be as clear as Paul was, and I also want to be asking you, what part can I play in the people around me and in those people that have never had access to the truth? That's what I invite you guys to be thinking about and praying about this week, okay? Thank you very much. It's great to be able to be with you guys today.